Well, welcome to 2017. I see that most of us have survived the holidays, and we are here in January. So now, here in the beginning of January, there are two questions that I have for you. Number one, did you make one? And number two, how are you doing? Did you make a resolution last week of something that maybe you wanted to start doing now, or maybe you made a resolution of something you wanted to stop doing in the coming year? So, how are you doing? It's now January 7, you're 1 week into it. Now, my friends, resolutions are normally good. Maybe you decided, all right, it's time. The holidays really got me, so I'm going to step on that scale, and I've decided that I'm going to lose a little weight. Or maybe you decided as soon as the weather gets decent out, I'm going to start exercising more. Or maybe you promised that you were going to focus less on electronics this next year. You're going to start turning it off a little bit more. Maybe your resolution was to spend more time with family and friends. Or maybe you resolved to carve out more time in the day just to be quiet with the Lord. I don't know what your resolution was. And those are all good ideas. That's great stuff, and most of our resolutions are. But I think we have some problems with our New Year's resolutions. Actually, two very big problems that we have with these good resolutions that we make. The first problem is our resolutions don't last, do they? They're not long enough. We call them New Year's resolutions. How many of them turn into just sad January resolutions, right? Are we still thinking about them come July, halfway through the year? I mean, we started the race so strong, we were just determined that we were going to run this race and we were going to make it, and then we never even made it to the end, the finish line. Actually, my wife did make it to the end of that race, but it fit, so. Well, no matter what your resolution is, I believe that the Apostle Paul in the Bible had a resolution that wasn't just for the new year, but he came up with a resolution that was for a new life. And Paul writes in the book of Colossians about a change. And if you want to turn to Colossians, that's where we're going to be a lot today. But I want you to notice something. As we read this section of Scripture, notice that he's not talking about a change just for the sinner. Paul is writing about a change to happen in the believer, in the follower of Christ. He's writing to the saints. But when Paul writes about a change or a resolution, he's not talking about a New Year's resolution. He wants his readers to make a new life resolution. Now, before we dig into what Paul says here in Colossians, I think it's important that we do a little bit of background check on this guy and figure out who is the man that's doing the writing, that's talking about change. What was Paul's background? Well, first off, that wasn't his original name, was it? What was his original name? Saul, yes. And where did Saul live? Tarsus. Yeah, we typically know Saul of Tarsus. Now, who was he? He's a believer in God. Very well versed in scriptures. The Bible tells us in Philippians that he was from the tribe of Benjamin in Israel. So the tribe of Benjamin, and then Paul goes on and says, not only was he just versed in scriptures, but he was a Pharisee. And that he went and he studied under the rabbi Gamaliel, tells us that in Acts chapter 22. So this man, his upbringing made sure that he was steeped in first century Judaism. He was a very committed man. And because of that upbringing, Saul was not happy with this new Jesus movement that was spreading everywhere. Because Saul was passionate about his faith and he didn't want his faith tarnished. So he was willing to go to the extreme for what he thought was the truth. Question. Was Saul willing to accept the notion that God may do something new? Was Saul willing to accept that maybe he didn't have God completely figured out? And can any of us relate to Saul? Listen to his own testimony. Before we go to Colossians, turn with me just a couple books back to Galatians chapter 1. And listen to this guy's own pen as he writes about his prior life. Galatians chapter 1, we'll just need one verse to sum it all up. Galatians 1 verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." Now, with that as a backdrop, knowing that at one point in time, Paul was a zealous persecutor of followers of Christ, these verses we're about to read, I think, mean so much more, because they were written by a man who knew about God's transforming power to change. He knew about God's transforming grace that can change even the most hardened of us. Listen as Paul writes to you and me about not a New Year's resolution, but a new life resolution. Colossians chapter 3 now, verse 8. He says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him." So first off, Paul begins by telling us what we need to stop doing. And many resolutions, if we're honest, are about stopping things. I'm going to stop eating too much. I'm going to stop working too much. I'm going to stop gossiping. Or the list goes on and on and on. But remember, the problem I said at the beginning is our New Year's resolutions are not long enough, because change needs to not just be for a week or a month or even a year, but change needs to be for a new life in Jesus. The second problem with our resolutions is our resolutions, if we're honest with ourselves, are not big enough, are they? We need to think bigger, don't we? Paul tells us that God wants a change of our hearts that affects how we treat each other. He says, get rid of anger, malice, and wrath. Now, did Paul know about living a life of anger and malice? Yeah. He persecuted Christians. He said, "I tried everything I could to destroy the church." This guy knew about anger. He knows what he's condemning when he writes to this church. He continues, he says, you need to stop the filthy language. Now, friends, nasty language is an epidemic today, isn't it? It is all over. It's everywhere. It's at the workplace. It's in entertainment. Should it be heard among Christ followers? Remember years ago, my mom worked as a secretary for an electric company in Iowa. And so it was her, one gal, and all the rest were guys. And these were rough and tumble guys, worked outside all year long, climbing up the poles and fixing the wires. Rough dudes that were there. And then there was my mom. And these rough guys, their language reflected their roughness. But after a while, these guys noticed that my mom's language was different. And so pretty soon, when they were around my mom's desk, they stopped cursing around her. You see, Paul knows that your life as a Christian can and will affect those around you. And then he says, Paul continues, he says, don't lie to one another. As Christians, shouldn't we be the most reliable, trusted people in town? We have to be. That has to be our reputation. But like we mentioned earlier, the problem with our New Year's resolutions, they're not long enough and they're not big enough. So Paul begins by talking about what we need to stop doing, but that's not it. Now he switches, in case you thought, yep, and you were checking them all off. I got it. I'm going to stop doing all that stuff. Now Paul says what we need to start doing. If you'll follow me, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Now remember, he's writing to believers, isn't he? He's not writing to just sinners who need to clean up their act. He's writing to church folk. And he says, believers, we need to be kind, humble, and meek. Now, meek is one of those words we don't often understand quite well. We think, well, meekness just means humbleness. Or some people think meekness is just synonymous with being weak. Friends, not at all. Meekness is one of the most powerful traits that a human being can have. Because meekness is when someone accuses you falsely and you are so confident in the Lord and who you are that you don't get angry and you don't argue back. You're not discouraged. Jesus lived out what it means to be meek when he stood at his trial and all those accusations came flowing his way. And what did he do? He let them come and he didn't argue back. He could have. Could have shot down every accusation, but he didn't. He was meek. And remember, Jesus said, "'Tis the meek that will inherit the earth." Paul continues by saying believers should be long-suffering. We don't use that word too much, but we use the word patient. So, 2017, how's your patience doing, folks? Don't make it a New Year's resolution to be patient. Paul says make it a new life resolution. And then he continues on things we need to start doing. He continues and says in verse 13, bear with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. Paul says, bear with one another, forgiving one another. And at this point, he's been kind of listing a whole bunch of stuff. At this point, he stops. And Paul says, I got to give an explanation here. I got to add a little bit in case they get confused. The other things he just started about, what you need to stop doing, what you need to start doing. But at this point, he says, if anyone, and folks, anyone means you and me, right? Because anyone, we're part of anyone, aren't we? In that verse. It says, if anyone has a complaint of another. Did you notice there's no qualifiers on those nouns? Anyone quite simply means everyone, does it not? And another. It says, if anyone has a complaint against another, and another means everyone. There's no qualifiers. Paul doesn't say, forgive others unless they're a fellow believer. And then they should know better. So you hold a grudge on them then. Right? Yeah. Make them pay. Give them the cold shoulder. Freeze them a bit. Make them pay a couple years or so. Is that what Paul says? No. He doesn't say forgive others unless they hurt you real bad, and then you got the right to hold a grudge. No. He simply says forgive them like Christ forgave you. Now, if in this sermon up to this point you were thinking, I got this. This sounds easy. No more lying, done. No more cussing, got it. Be patient. Yeah, it was a little harder, but sure, I can do that. Well, I'm guessing at this point here at the forgiveness part, many of us are thinking, oh boy, kind of in trouble here. There's nothing easy about what Paul says with this new life resolution. But hang on, friends. If you're starting to get discouraged, hold on, because there's hope. Paul finishes in verse 14, and he says, but above all these things, all these great things he's listed of stop doing and starting doing, he says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Beautiful, isn't it? He takes these two words, love and perfection, and he puts them in the same sentence. How amazing is it that I hear so many Christians arguing over these two very points? I find some Christians who say, all we have to do is love. We don't have to be perfect. And then I find other Christians who are arguing, saying believers have to be perfect in Christ. And yet, if you hang out with them long enough, you realize they can sometimes be the most unloving people you'd ever want to meet. How can this be? Paul says love and perfection go hand in hand. You cannot separate the two. Now, before you start to despair and think, I'm in trouble, there is no possible way that I can do these resolutions, hang on and keep reading with me. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Paul gives us clues as to how we can make this new life resolution possible. The first thing he says is you need to be thankful. You want to be kind and loving, you better start counting the blessings that you already have. Then he says you have to take God's word and let it into your heart, to read the Bible and let it in on a daily basis. And then the third thing he says here in this list, he says sing. Now, how are we supposed to sing? Did you catch it in there? Go on back and look. Don't just listen to me, but read it. If you got your Bible open, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. How are we supposed to sing? Sing in tune, it says. It's nice to sing in tune, but that's not what it says, is it? It says to sing. Yeah. And it says, actually, sing three different types of songs. Did you notice that? We're supposed to sing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. And he tells us how to sing all three with grace to the Lord. All right, folks, with that instruction, how can it be that God's people have been fighting about music for centuries? I really don't care what songs we sing as long as we sing and listen to them with grace in our hearts. Amen? That's the instruction from the Bible, to sing with grace. Let it be in our hearts. And then Paul wraps up this whole new life resolution in verse 17, where he says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Remember, we said these new year's resolutions, two problems with them. They're not long enough and they're not big enough. Well, Paul ends and says, now, I've given you a great big list, but more than that, he says, whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. That's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? And at this point, you probably want to just throw your hands in the air and say, I'm sunk. I'm not even going to make it home in the car today before I start breaking this stuff. Right? That's why, friends, we have to remember who's the one with the pen writing these words. Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, the killer, the unchanging Pharisee, who by the transforming power and grace of Jesus became the Apostle Paul, the church planter, the preacher who wrote about love, the proponent of a new theology that Jesus is the Messiah. Paul knows that we all need change. Paul also knows that we cannot change ourselves, which is why God told him to write these words, lest we read this counsel and begin to despair that we have no hope that we'll ever change. Paul gives us the answer, and he put it right in the middle of the passage. I just kind of skipped over it. We're going to go back, because sometimes the key point in a passage is right in the middle, and it's resolved around it. So go with me back to verse 10. After he's talked about the things to stop, and not quite before he's talking about the things to start, verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, or the new woman, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Paul gives us the answer right here in the center of the passage. Verse 11, he says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but, here's the answer, Christ is all and in all. Paul says the answer is that you're new when you're in Christ. We got to see that experience today. Did you see it? Did you look close earlier today? Michaela, you're a living illustration today of the sermon. Paul says, Michaela, you are new. Now here she is sinking down in the pew as I'm talking to her. Michaela, after you got baptized, you were all wet and you went back to this room and you changed your clothes, right? After you changed your clothes, did you look in the mirror and think, I'm new? Am I taller? Did you think that? Did you look to see if you were taller? Did you look to see maybe I'm older now because I'm new? Not really. But the Bible says you're new. And the Bible says you're new right here, right in your heart, where it matters. Are we new, friends? If we're new, Paul says with God's help, we can live new. Because that newness in Christ affects how we live. We stop doing harmful things and hurtful things to others because Christ is all and in all. The answer to this is not working harder. The answer is not working more to be good or to grow our own righteousness. The answer is and always will be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul also wrote these famous words that you don't even have to turn in your Bible. You've got them memorized. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where he says, can you say it with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that verse can mess you up. That verse, that famous, powerful verse, can mislead depending on how you read it. It all depends on where you put the emphasis, because you can read that verse like this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can read it like that. And if you do, and if I do, we are in trouble. We have to read it like this, friends. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Make sure your emphasis is in the right place. My friends, I'm not sure what your New Year's resolution is. Whatever it is, I hope for you the best with it. But more than that, I am praying that each of us will look at God's new life resolution. Because how would 2017 look if we allow Christ in our lives? If we allow him to change us and to live in us, how would our families look? How would our schools, our work look? How would our church look? This morning, are you willing today to make God's new life resolution your resolution? Are you willing? If so, I'd like to invite you to stand with me. And if you're willing to stand with me, then we need to pray together, because we cannot do this alone. We cannot do this new life resolution on our own. We need Christ in us, in all of us. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for taking a man like Saul and changing him into a man that you could use, who could write words that are still speaking thousands of years later, speaking to our hearts and convicting us of what needs to change. Oh, Lord, we cannot change ourselves any more than a leopard can change his spots. So we need you. So right now, in the quietness of this moment, as we stand before you, Lord, we're resolving in our hearts to follow you. But we can only follow you if our eyes are open to see where you're leading, to see what you're doing in our lives, and to give you the right and the privilege to change us in the ways we need changing, to soften our hearts, Lord, so that we can put off all malice and anger, so that we can bear all things and love one another and forgive each other. Lead us, Lord, into this new year, but not just into time, Lord. Lead us into a new life. And may we follow you wherever you lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close our service today, will you sing our closing song of dedication, He Leadeth Me. One of the most humbling things you can ever do is to admit to someone that you're lost and you don't know how to get where you're going. And sometimes when we're lost enough, we'll ask somebody, can you help me? Can you point me in the right direction? And hopefully you find someone who will say, yeah, just go this way, and they'll point. But it's even better when you find someone who won't point, but will grab you by the hand and say, I'll take you there. That's the God we serve. Almighty Father in heaven, thank you for being that God who sent your Son Jesus to show us the way, but who still sends. Lord, you send your Holy Spirit today to take us by the hand and to lead us all the way. So, Lord, today, as we begin this new year, we begin it with you. We resolve in our hearts to allow you to lead us all the way. And, Lord, as we're on that way with you, if we turn to the side, may it only be to motion someone else to come and follow you too. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those who want to accept God's resolution said, amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, God bless you, each and every one. Have a wonderful Sabbath and a happy new year.